were in the book of Ecclesiastes, and then we missed a couple of Wednesdays. I missed a couple of Wednesdays with you guys, and so we're going to jump back, and we are going to finish it next week. And I have a fund next week because we're going to eat, drink, and be merry next week and end our series with a little festivities here at the season. And I have a couple of people that are going to be sharing some of their life experiences that they've gone through and how God helped them. So we're going to kind of have a little panel of people up here sharing with you, and then we're going to have a little festive time. So that's going to be next week. So we're going to go ahead and end out the book. And I'm really going to jump around because we were in book chapter number 9 of Ecclesiastes, and it goes to 12, and you know that I would take forever if I was really going to read you 9, 10, 11, and 12. We would be here till 12, and I know you don't want to be here till 12. So we're just going to skip around a bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so with the sinner. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens." We talked about this word in the very beginning, under the sun. It's in the whole book of Ecclesiastes numerous times, meaningless and under the sun. "The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. And anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days." And I got to thinking of that little phrase there. I'm like, what a Hallmark card. "I've loved you all through our meaningless life, and I'll love you all the rest of our meaningless days." I'm like, that is awful. I better never get a card like that from Jonathan. I'm going to be bing. And so, you know, we talked about this whole time. Solomon is just blah, blah, blah. And so we're seeing it once again. It didn't change. We might have missed a couple of weeks, but the tone of the book is still the same. So what he's saying here in all of this, he goes on, I mean, it keeps really the same tone. It says in 9, "For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom." And our common destiny for all of us is death. We're going to die. Every one of us. And Solomon wants you to know that. And he wants you to know it's final. And his attitude is everything you did while you were here was meaningless. So we might as well all die. That might be true if you don't have hope in Christ. But like we stated before, with hope in Christ, we live with the hope and security of heaven, of what's to come. And what's to come, we can't even fathom. You know, don't you love it when somebody tries to act like they've got heaven all figured out? They're like, well, I'll tell you, it's going to be this way and that way. And we have no clue. Because what's written in Scripture is very, very little that we can't even begin to fathom what heaven is going to be like. And we try to piece it together. And really what we do is we try to make it work for ourselves. You know, in heaven, I'm going to be married to Jonathan. In heaven, I'm going to have this, you know, I could pick out my house and the colors. And, you know, I'm going to have all these things according to what I want heaven to be for me. It's not going to be anything like that. But it makes us feel better to think that we have it figured out, right? What I do know is what I experience in the presence of the Lord. Have you ever felt the presence of the Lord? Have you got that, you know, somebody, some people call it chicken skin, or, you know, that electricity, or just this feeling like you've never felt before come over you, and you're like, what is that? That's the presence of the Lord. And I know how that makes me feel. The presence of the Lord makes me feel good. The presence of the Lord doesn't scare me. The presence of the Lord gives me hope. The presence of the Lord renews my strength. When I am weak, you know, and I get down on my knees and I begin to pray, even when I'm crying, when I feel the presence of the Lord, I feel like everything's going to be all right. I feel like everything's all good. I feel like he's got me. And I know that his presence and the feeling I get of his presence here is nothing compared to when I'm with him face to face. And if I can just imagine what little bit I get here, how grand heaven will be. I don't know, have to know the details of what I'm going to have and what it's going to be like and what our schedule is, although I'd like to know that. I'd like to know, what are we going to do when we wake up? Do we wake up? Do we just party all night? Do we get tired? Like, you know, I want to know all this stuff, and I don't have any of the answers, so I don't dwell on it. And sometimes that's where we get ourselves in trouble, is because we try to dwell on things that you're never going to have the answer for. And then all of a sudden, somebody will come up with a theory, and we try to latch on to that theory as if it's gospel. But if it's not in the gospel, it's not gospel. But heaven, and I think this little song, maybe some of you that are in my age range or had children in my age range in church will remember this little song that says, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I'm gonna see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. I wanna go there. And I sing that with Abigail. Now she knows it. 80s children's music. But I would sing it, and as a kid, I loved it because the music was upbeat, and I'm like, yeah, I want to go there. And I don't know what all it's going to entail, but I do know that I have a hope because of who I believe in. And because of your belief in Jesus Christ, that he died, that first of all, the Father sent him, and that he died for you for the forgiveness of your sins, and through his grace, we now have forgiveness. That when we leave this earth, whenever that may be it young or be it old, we have a promise of eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you will just allow yourself to experience his presence here on earth, it'll hook you for life. Because there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Nothing like the presence of the Lord. You say tonight, you know, I've never experienced the presence of the Lord. I want to encourage you to open your heart up to his presence. It can fall on you anywhere at any time. Today I was in the house and I was listening to some Christmas music, and it was a Christmas like worship song. And I just found myself, it was singing Alleluia, just with arms open wide, just started singing, and I could just feel his presence. And Abigail was looking at me, what is mom doing? And she giggled. And I'm like, I feel the presence of the Lord in our house today. He will come upon you and fill you. And you don't have to be at church to feel the presence of the Lord. You can be anywhere. You can be in your shower. You can be singing in the car. And all of a sudden, something come over you, and you know it's different. It's the presence of the Lord. And so, yes, we all have, whether we're a good person or a bad person, whether we do right or wrong or have it all figured out or not, we all have that same destiny. But the difference is when you have Christ. That what you've done is you've lived your life with purpose. And if you're not living your life with purpose, get in tune with the Holy Spirit, because he'll show you how to live your life. He gives you plan and purpose. I like that in chapter 9, one of the highlights there is that it says, enjoy life with the with your wife and whom you love all the days. I don't like that part of the meaningless life that God's given you and all your meaningless days, but I like that it tells you to enjoy whom God has placed you with. And so just a little plug for married couples, enjoy your spouse. Don't allow the things of this world to take away the enjoyment that God has given you in one another. Because to be honest, there will always be something to steal your time, to frustrate you. You know, Jonathan and I celebrated 24 years on Monday, and there's still things he does that irritates me. After 24 years, he still does things that I think, you know, I don't like that. In fact, we were driving from his grandparents' home to the airport for me to get home with the kids, and I was so sleepy. And the rental car would not let me have it in my name without paying $20 extra a day and just call us cheap. We weren't going to pay $20 extra a day for me to drive it. So he was my chauffeur, which really worked out nice until he didn't go back to the airport with me and I needed to drive it back. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to have to come in to add your name. And I'm like, you're 2 hours away, so how is that going to work? Well, then I guess your name won't be added. And I'm like, well, what if I drive it anyways? They're like, if something happens, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. So he had to drive the rental back to the airport for me while I drove his grandmother's car so he could drive it back 2 hours. And I was starting to fall asleep. And so I flashed my lights, like, pull over, and I said, I can't do it. I can't even make these 2 hours. I'm like, he goes, well, let Emmy drive. Well, you know, Emmy's a new driver. And she doesn't switch lanes smoothly, like it's like a video game. And so every time she would switch lane, I'm like, are we okay? What's going on? Are we all right? You know? So I'm like stopping at a gas station. I'm like, I just need something to eat. I need some peanuts. And can you get me some cheese crackers? Well, you know, he knows the cheese crackers I'm talking about are the orange ones with peanut butter. But he brings me back the cheese ones, the orange ones with the cheese. But I didn't know it. And it was a value pack. Like, it wasn't just four, it was like six. And so I opened, I took a bite, and I go, oh, disgusting. And then Emmy's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, these have cheese in it. I asked for cheese crackers, but the cheese with peanut butter. And so I'm like, I'm not eating these. Like, I know, I'm spoiled, right? Because if you're hungry, you'll eat anything. If you really want to stay awake. Okay, that would be my dad talking to me. But I put him down on the dashboard. And later on, I guess he noticed that they were in his mama's car, and I'm like, you know, I don't like the ones with the cheese. 24 years, you should know I like the ones with the peanut butter. But on his defense, he goes, oh, well, I don't know if he was really just pulling one over on me. He's like, oh, I thought that's the one I got. You know, guys, you do some sly stuff. I'm just saying. I'm like, okay, I'm sure that you thought you had the peanut butter ones. In his defense, they are cheesy, colored. but there will always be something, my point tonight, that will keep you from enjoying one another if you allow it. So don't let peanut butter versus cheese steal your joy. It's important. And so I just want to throw that in there. And then he talks about in verse 10 here, whatever your hands do, do it with all your might. And I just think it's really important that in this life, you feel good about what you do. Give your 100%. Because you know when you don't give 100% and you just have to do things. And I don't personally want to walk through this life feeling I gave 30 or 40% to everything I did. But I want to feel like I walked away and gave my 100%. My 100% may not be yours. Juanita has served in our military, and if her and I went up together to climb a wall or something, my 100% would not look like hers. I would be like, help me, like I think I can do it. But her 100% will look fabulous. She'd be on the other side, like ready for the next side, you know? That's not gonna be me because that's not my 100%, but it totally would be hers. Let's not get in a fight ever, okay? So, your 100%, if you're not a decorator, just face it, your arrangement's not gonna look like someone else's. But you can give. I did point that way. Pat is sitting back there and likes to do arrangements. But do you get that? Because sometimes we compare our best to someone else's and we think, well, I'm not going to be as good as them anyway, so I'm just going to give my 20% and go on. No, give your 100%. Whatever task is set before you, do your best and you'll feel good about it, even if it's not like somebody else's. But know that you've lived this life doing the best that you can in whatever that God puts in your hand, and that feels good. So that's something we can take from chapter 9. Also, in verses 11 and 12, it talks about no man knows when the hour will come, and things will happen, and no one is exempt from things, and no one has it all figured out. So those people in your life that think they know what you need to do and they've got your life all figured out, guess what? They don't. But you're always going to have those people who try to tell you how you need to do it and when you need to do it and if you had done it, how it would have all worked out, right? I'll never forget one time as Koa was younger and we were in church and he was acting up and I was really frustrated because Emmy was not the same as Koa. And how many of you have had more than one child and you're like, what happened? You know, they're all supposed to be like this, and they're not. They all have their own way. And so I remember getting frustrated because of whatever he was doing. And one of the older ladies of the church told me, she said, well, you know, do you want to know what you need to do? And I thought she was going to give me some great advice. And I said, well, you know, I am seeking, you know, how to discipline. She goes, you need to pick that boy up. You need to whoop his butt. You need to give him an old-fashioned butt bruising, and he won't do that again. And I thought, you know, we have whooped him, and we have done as much as we could to try to prevent this, and guess what? He just do it more. And so I had to find what worked for him. And guess what? What worked for him is take away his favorite toy, decide that he can't play video games for a week. And then all of a sudden, he's this wonderful child. Ta-da! I love you, Mom. What can I do for you? But whooping, in fact, sometimes he would say, just go ahead and whoop me. I'd rather have a whooping. I'm like, I'm not giving you the pleasure of my whooping. I'm taking your game system away. But someone else always has it figured out for you, and you can find yourself frustrated in life if you try to live your life based off of someone else that thinks they have it all the answers for you. Look to the Lord. He will give you wisdom. He'll give you some bright ideas. He'll lead you to people, not like the lady I was talking about, but he'll lead you to some other people who will speak life into you, and a light bulb comes on and you're like, you know, I'm going to try that. And maybe that will be your answer. It also talks about in wisdom. So in chapter 9 from 13 on, it gives several scriptures about wisdom and it gives an example about wisdom. And it says in verse 16 of chapter 9, so I said, wisdom is better than strength. It says in 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Wisdom. So we can conclude throughout the theme of Ecclesiastes that we need wisdom. It's mentioned wisdom numerous times. And so some common themes that we see is that we should enjoy things of life, that we have to realize that we're not exempt from the bad that comes, and we need to walk in wisdom. And we can gather that from chapter 9, but we can also gather it from the book as a whole. In chapter 10, we see that it gives some very descriptive words. He says, as dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. And I, you know, have you ever seen someone who walked foolishly, and it really does stink, doesn't it? And it affects more people than just themselves. And I think that's why we want people to use wisdom, because when you don't walk in wisdom, it doesn't just affect you, it affects a lot of other people. And so he's giving that analogy there. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. kind of embarrassing, right? Like, everybody saw I was dumb but me. But we've all been there. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. I really like that calmness. You know, we need to walk in more peace and patience with one another and not rise up in our self-anger, but have a calmness. And sometimes the best thing you can do is walk away and take a deep breath. Decide that this conversation isn't for now. Decide that I just need to sit on this a minute and allow calmness to overtake me. Because how many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand, has done it the opposite way? And then afterwards you're like, oh, I wish I could take back my response. I wish I could take back what I said. But we react quickly. And so that's something that we can take that's very good in chapter 10. Again, he reiterates, like in verse 14, that no one knows what's coming and who can tell what will happen. And then this scripture has stuck with me. I don't know who spoke it to me as a child. But in verse 20, the second half of it says, a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Think about that. A bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. And I remember hearing that one time and thinking, there's some kind of scripture that says the bird's going to carry what you say. That's like a little far-fetched. But I think of our modern time, and I don't know how many people have gotten in trouble because they've posted some naughty things and someone took a screenshot of that. And then like a bird of the air, they sent it out. Did you see what so-and-so said? And even though they try to go back and delete it, it's already traveled. And as I look at that area of scripture, I'm like, I don't know what it meant to other people in other times, but we need to be really careful what we say or what we write. And I've met some people that have even said, I'm not going to say because I just don't even want to utter those words into the air. Be careful what you speak. Be careful what you write. Somehow, some way, sometimes, it has a way of traveling. And usually when it travels, it ends up kind of different than what was said. Maybe even with a different intent, but it causes problems. So if you're not edifying, if you're not uplifting, be careful. Now you know where it's at. If you ever heard that, has anybody ever heard that before about the bird? No, well, see, there was some weird preacher that must have came and preached that one time, and that was the one thing that stuck with me. Chapter 11. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Basically, it's saying, be adventurous. Do some fun things. Live life. Don't just sit there and never try anything new and just get into the moly grub of life, but hey, cast your bread on the waters and live adventurously. Adventure to all of you comes in different packages. We know that my husband likes adventure in a different way than many of you do. Jumping off cliffs and all kinds of crazy stuff. But be adventurous. Go to a different gas station than the one you've always went to for 20 years. Try a different restaurant after church on Sunday. And don't complain the whole time, well, their salsa's not like the other places. You might just find that you have a new favorite salsa. Be adventurous. And then it's saying be generous. Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Be generous. You never know when you're going to need someone else's generosity. If you have, give, share. You know, have you ever had something then you thought, oh, I really want this, and then you thought, no, I remember my first trip to New York. I was on a missions trip, and on my free day, I got to go down and pick out, take some kids shopping. And so all I wanted was a purse, but I wanted not just any purse. I wanted the perfect purse. So we went in and out of all these little places, and then I finally found one, but I wasn't sure if I would find one better. So I didn't buy that one. So one of the leaders that was with me, nothing was better than that one I should have gotten. So one of the leaders said, I will go back and I'll meet you at the train and I will get that purse, since that's the purse you really wanted. I'm like, you are golden. So I got that purse. It was fabulous. That's all I can say. It was black and white, had a big white bow on it. It was just all that for me. And every time I would go to use it, I would be like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to carry that. Not because I didn't like it, but I thought, I don't know what it is. I just can't use it. And so all these months went by, and my sister's birthday came along, and I thought, that's my sister's purse. That purse isn't for me. Like, that's my sister's purse. And I wrapped it up, and I gave it to her, and she loved it because it was a fabulous purse. But I just couldn't use it, and I never could understand why, because I really wanted that. Sometimes things that we try to hold on to aren't even for us, and she probably enjoyed it way more than what I ever would have. And the next summer, I was sent back to New York, and I got another fabulous purse that Emmy took. Because that's what happens when you have a daughter. But I say that because sometimes we hold on to all this stuff. This is mine, and I can't give it away, and this is my treasure. And really, we hoard it up for what? When someone else, as we release what God's given us, there's actually joy in seeing someone else be blessed with what God gave you. So be generous, and then you never know when someone's going to come back and bless you. And there's been times people have come back and blessed me, and it's felt good. And so be a blessing to one another. And then we're going to get out of here. So I just want to skip over to chapter 12, the ending book. And really, the whole reason that I started studying Ecclesiastes is because of the last verse. And it says in chapter 12, verse 14, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." If you back it up in verse 13, it says, "All this has been heard." So we've went through the book of Ecclesiastes. All this has been heard, and here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We are to fear God, to have a reverence towards him and who he is, that he is our creator, that death will come, and for you to have life in him in eternity only comes through one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And although we were freely given his son, the gift, you know, through Jesus, the gift of salvation, we have to follow him. And we need to be reverent when we wake up in the morning. Am I following God? Is my heart after him? Am I fearing God in what I'm saying and what I'm doing? And am I keeping his commandments? And how do we know his commandments? We read the word of God. And he says that this is our duty as man, to fear God and to follow his commandments. And then he says that he'll bring every deed into judgment. And I want to tell you tonight, if you've been hurt, because we can sit here tonight and we all have our own story, and there are those of you who have been hurt. Hurt in the church. Hurt by people. Hurt in relationships. And you could say, I don't understand why I was dealt the hand I was given. I don't understand why I walk through what I walk through. But I want you to know that he says he'll bring every deed into judgment. And every wrong that you've been wronged, and everything that's been said or done to you or hurt to you, whether you were sexually abused, physically abused, whether you were ran through the gutter, I don't know where you are today, but I know that those things exist. God will bring every deed into judgment. It doesn't go unseen, your hurts. And he will be the judge to those who have hurt you, including every hidden thing. The things you've never told a soul, the things that you hide even now because maybe you're ashamed or you don't want anyone to know. Whether those things were evil and done to you or whether you did evil to others, you come into judgment. Now let me say, there's forgiveness for you tonight. If you were the one dealing the bad hand and you feel bad because of things that you've done and the way you've treated other people, there is forgiveness in Christ Jesus. That is the hope that we have, that as bad as we've been and as wrong as we've wronged someone and as evil as we have done, he says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. So tonight, it doesn't matter what your past has been. He says that it is cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And he forgives you. He forgives you. But for those who have been hurt, he wants you to know that he does judge. And we will all stand before the Lord. You see, even though I feel secure tonight, that if I walk out of here and I take my last breath, I'm going to heaven. But I'm going to stand before the Lord for the things I've done in my life. Every hidden thing. And as I began to read that, I thought, oh, that's heavy. That's heavy because God sees and knows everything. And isn't that kind of sobering? That we want to stand before the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart. That makes me want to every day say to the Lord, forgive me, God. Forgive me for my attitude today. Forgive me for, you know, whatever it is in that day that I've done. And to go to others and say, would you forgive me? Because nothing is hidden to him. And what he wants of us is to fear God and to follow his commandments. That's really simple, right? It really is simple. But he sees what we do. And so the heart of when I read that, I actually searched out that scripture because I was on Facebook one day and I saw somebody write a comment and I knew it was an undercut to someone else. And I thought, they're writing this and they're being very vague, but it's hidden. It's one of those hidden things. Like, nobody knows that I've got this beef against this person. So if I just write this really vague comment, they won't really know, but see, God knows the hidden things. And my heart was grieved for who I knew felt like the Holy Spirit allowed me to see in the situation. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to be guilty of those hidden things. Help me hold my tongue. Help me to not say things or do things with the motivation of wrong. Because you know my heart and you see if I write or I say or I do with a dig that's meant underneath. And we're living in a different time, guys. We're living in an era where we can just put it out there to the world. And I know some of you, that's, you know, you're not savvy in the social media world, and that's okay. But some of us are. And they can, I mean, government can go and do a search on you and see everything you've ever written. That seems scary, right? But the Lord knows everything you've ever said, every thought you've ever had. He's greater than the government, and we're going to stand before him as our judge. So it's not meant to be meh tonight. Remember, we're going to eat, drink, and be merry next week. But as we close out Ecclesiastes, we do need to realize, as it all winds down, to fear God, to know he will judge, to know he is our judge, to know him as our Savior, so that after this life, when we meet him, he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And he can call back to you all those good things. And it even says in there, the hidden things, whether it's good or evil, some of you have done some good that was never recognized. Some of you have spoken encouragement and never got a thank you. Been generous, and the person never said a word to you. God sees every hidden thing you've done. Some of you have lifted prayers up for people they have no idea you've been praying for. But God does. So know that you're going to be rewarded for every good thing you've done. Your crown's going to be great. Because God, just like he sees every bad thing we do, he sees every good thing we do. And all the good that we do, he's going to bless you for it. And so let us live our life with that caution that says, God, I fear you and I desire to be more like you, and forgive me when I fail. Allow me to get back up and keep going at it. Because that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to feel so beaten that we can't get back up and keep going. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. You're like, I'm glad you're done next week. Well, it is good to move out of Ecclesiastes, right? Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the books that you placed in your word, and that they're placed in there for purpose and reason. So Lord, I just ask that every person tonight would be reminded of some of the studies that we've done, things that stuck with them throughout Ecclesiastes, and that they would grasp in their heart that you have plan and you have purpose for them. And what you have for them is good, because you said in Jeremiah that you know the plans that you have for us, and they're not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future that is good. So Lord, I thank you for the goodness that you have for each of us. But God, right now, we just check our hearts. And Father, you see where we're all at as individuals. And if there's anything that would be in our minds that we feel like we need to ask forgiveness for, whether it be words, actions, the past, the present, right now we just say to you, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father, for the sins that I have made. And Lord, make me anew. And Father, help me that each day that I get up, I would renew my mind in you, and that I would allow my words to be your words, and I would allow my actions to be your actions, and I would allow your presence to rest upon me wherever I go. Father, we thank you that we can walk with a holy reverence towards who you are as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that, Father, we can choose. It is a choice to choose to follow your commandments. And we declare tonight that we choose to follow your commandments. And we thank you, Lord, that you didn't make them too hard for us to follow, but you made them that we could follow after you. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. And we thank you for your goodness. And we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed. We will see you on Sunday.